I realized this lesson has been coming on here since 1972. I started at the University of Georgia in 1972. My first year, I didn't know what I was going to major in, but I decided I liked to draw, so why not do art? So I signed up for an art class. I signed up for a photography class and a ceramic class. So I've basically come full circle. I took a class. Bless her heart, she's trying to interpret for them, and I don't know if she can keep up. With technology, Doris, I can get them a transcript. We're recording, right? And I can get them a Spanish translation next week. Okay? With the beauty of technology, I'm good. I'll do my best. Okay. Well, I just realized I'd taken my class and I never touched clay again until last year and signed up for classes at the University of Florida here. And anybody can sign up at the University of Florida for class. And I highly recommend it. If you are looking for something new, try something new or try something old. But there is so much to be said in the Bible. There's at least a dozen verses we're going to work on together. And my goal is to present my experience working with the clay. I have personal experience working with it and digging out the clay chards, which are still lying in the earth in Israel. We went on a trip in 2022, and that was another thing that I enjoyed thoroughly. And God's given me these things, these experiences, so I can share. I've got something to talk about, and that's really exciting. Going to the university on a weekly basis and answering students' questions is amazing, and it gives you a lot of confidence in your faith. I'm excited to do that, and the more we do, the more we have to tell. I've been teaching my grandchildren the difference in a goal and a desire. My goal is to present this experience, and that's something that's under my control. My desire is basically what I hope each of you will discover or rediscover, how God's Spirit works in each of us, molding and making us into the vessel pleasing to Him. And He does this as we submit to the placement of His placement of people and circumstances in our lives with a thankful heart. The practical side of clay. You may not realize clay is pretty much ubiquitous around the world. It's all over the place. I brought this. There's a clay test. If you fill a jar with half a jar full of your dirt, just go out in your backyard and put a half jar of dirt, then fill the rest of it with water, and wait about a day, it will, is it called titrate? It will stratify. You'll have your sand, because it's the heaviest particles, will go to the bottom, and then the silt will be the next layer, and Randy probably knows this, and then the clay ends up on top. And depending on the amount of the particles and the clay, there's, of course, various types of clay around the world. And the potters understand. They'll sit there and take some dirt and play with it and see if it holds. It's got to have the right amount of moisture. It's got to have holding power. And that's one of the special things about clay, is that it will. It's a interesting combination. The plasticity, when it's wet, and its ability to harden when dried or fired. So we'll talk more about that in a bit. But I have to keep the Hansen tradition going. I have to tell a joke, right? Okay, you may have heard this before. The scientist versus God man-making contest joke. Okay, a popular joke tells the story of a group of scientists who, feeling that humans had advanced far enough, decided they no longer needed God. They sent one scientist to tell him so. The scientist approached God and said, "God, we've decided we no longer need you. We can clone people and do miraculous things. why don't you just go on and mind your own business? And God listened patiently and then replied, very well, how about this? Let's have a man-making contest. The scientist agreed, and God added, we'll just do it like I did it back in the old days with Adam. And the scientist nodded and bent down to grab a handful of dirt. And God looked at him and said, no, 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 you got to go get your own dirt. Dirt's good stuff. Okay. Number one, I want to remind us the verses and go, okay, there's about a dozen verses, and I'm going to have some audience participation. When I find them, it's all right here in one of these pages. Okay, I want you all to do the work. You say clay when I point at you, all of you. This is Job. How much more those who dwell in houses of, whose foundation is the dust, who are crushed before a moth. Does that sound like we're kind of strong or fragile? Maybe a little fragile there. Job 10:9. Remember, I pray that you have made me like, and will you turn me into dust again? He does. He turns every one of us back to dust again. David said in the Psalms 42, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. That case, you don't want to be in that clay. Isaiah 29:16. Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? So that is definitely turned around. God is the potter, we are the clay. Jeremiah 18:4. And the vessel that he made of was marred in the hands of the potter. So it had a problem. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Guess who makes those decisions? Jeremiah 43:9. I'm going to miss that one. Ezekiel 4:1. The siege of Jerusalem is portrayed. You also, son of man, take a tablet and lay it before you and portray it on a city, Jerusalem. One of my favorite things in life, one of my favorite blessings is paper and pencil. But before paper and pencil, there was clay, and they would make cuneiform writing. We have a slide of that. And then you just wipe it and start again. So Nahum 3:14, draw your water for the siege. Fortify your strongholds. Go into the and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. That doesn't sound like it's too weak. It sounds like something you can do to protect your city. Okay, we're going to start the slides, Mike. I think I can turn around. Genesis, we've read some of these, and some of them we're going to repeat. But from the beginning, from Genesis to Daniel's revelation, which is about the second coming of Jesus, there we're going to hit four spots along the timeline. And this is Genesis. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So he probably took the least of the whole creation, dust, and breathed into us, and look what you get. It's just amazing that we're, anybody, talking to students at the university, if you can just get the conversation worked around to the complexity of the human body, it's amazing. No one can really argue with that. That is stuff they keep finding more and more and more complexity as we get more and more. Did you enjoy your time on campus, Mike? I hope you come back too. We're going to be taking the summer off because it's Florida. Okay. The slide is, there you go. I have done a pottery wheel, but it's a little hard to bring one over here. But it's amazing what you can do with dirt. The next, Jeremiah, let me tell you what was going on with Jeremiah. There we are. Jeremiah is about 630 to 580 B.C., and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Now, the context of this verse, Judah, when Jerusalem fell, back there, the Babylonians released Jeremiah from prison and offered him safe passage to Babylon. He decided to stay with his people. He decided to not leave. They took the best of the Jewish folks with them to Babylon. They were gathering the best of all the countries and left the poor people. He didn't leave much. And he lived under protection of the Babylonian appointed governor, who wasn't much protection. Shortly that fellow was assassinated. And so fearing Babylonian retaliation, a group of Judeans fled to Egypt and dragged Jeremiah and his scribe Baruch along with them. And he lived out the remainder of his life in Egypt. So he's talking about the potter reshapes spoiled clay. God has sovereignty and grace to reshape flawed, disobedient nations or individuals into something that fulfills his ultimate purpose. It highlights God's patience, offering a message of redemption rather than immediate destruction. So the clay is humanity, specifically the nation of Israel. Marred clay is our human sin, failure, and disobedience. The potter is God, and the remodeling represents God's restorative grace. Instead of throwing away the damaged clay, the potter graciously reshapes it into another vessel as seems good to the potter. So one of the takeaways for today is at any stage of the process, you can pop that clay back in water and you can redo. It's always a redo. There is nothing wasted. God knows what he's doing. Next slide. Oh, that's Jeremiah. That's a painting by Rembrandt of Jeremiah. There's Jerusalem burning in the background on the left, and he's contemplating all this destruction. Okay, and the next, Daniel 2. You watched while the stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. So Daniel, okay, Daniel 2, this was a catastrophic climax of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, where supernaturally cut stone strikes the statue's feet. There you go. Can you all read that? No? Okay, well, all you really need is the feet. We're talking about the feet. Okay. There's a stone headed for the feet. It says, stone cut out without hands, the second coming of Jesus. And this was his dream. The thing about Nebuchadnezzar, he not only wanted an interpretation of the dream, he wanted you to tell him the dream. And his counselors and astrologers got killed because they couldn't tell him the dream. Daniel said, Daniel prayed with the three fellows in the fire. He prayed with them, said, give me some time, let God reveal it to me. And this is what God revealed. These were head of gold, Babylon, chest and arms of silver as Medo-Persian Empire, belly and thighs of bronze as Greece, and legs of iron and pagan Rome, very strong. And then the feet of iron and clay is yet to come. So that means we're anticipating some strong alliances and some weak alliances in the future when Jesus comes. So compared to iron, clay is very weak. Next slide, John. When he said these things, that's Jesus, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. That is... It'd be good if I did these in order. Well, oh, okay. This mirrors the Genesis creation, the physical restoration with Jesus as creator. Jesus was there. He was there at the beginning. He was there in Genesis, and he'll be there all through and at the end. And this is a painting. I asked for a painting by Rembrandt. They didn't say if this was Rembrandt, but it's a lovely painting. Are y'all visual learners? I can remember this better than the words. Okay. Next, Romans 9:21. So this is Paul talking. Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? So he's reflecting what we read in the Jeremiah, that indeed God is the potter and we are the clay. And who's got sovereignty? God has sovereignty. To make a vessel for honor and another for dishonor. In every home, there can be vessels of honor and dishonor. One thing about the clay analogy is everybody in Israel got it. You know, everybody had clay vessels. Everybody, there was probably a potter in every little town because they just went through tons of it. When we went to Israel, we brought home things because there was a pile of trash. Let me pass these around. Obviously, there was some human involvement in this piece. This is from Shiloh, which was over 369 years. The tabernacle was built at Shiloh, Israel, and that's where we were digging. This came out of the refuse pile. They had so many pots, they just don't need anymore, so they put them up there for us to take. And let's see. Is it this one? This one, I'll start. That's from Shiloh. And over here, this one is from Jericho, the city where the walls fell down. So you can pass that way, and she can pass that way. Okay. And what's the next slide, Mike? Oh, there you go. This business of vessels of honor and dishonor, first thing that I thought of was also how many idols of the whole world, of the whole ancient world, everybody that was not worshiping the God of Israel and Isaac and Jacob was worshiping a false god. And can you, all the museums are full of false gods because they're full of these idols that people made out of clay. And it just doesn't seem right to sit there and make something and then turn around and worship it. That just doesn't seem right. But there's thousands and thousands of clay idol worship. What's the next one, Mike? Oh, okay, there we go. That's the cuneiform. The writing, the ancient writing, there's lots of different varieties, but you'd take a wedge instrument, probably metal, or a hardened clay, and do all this writing. That's amazing that they come up with this system long ago. And we'll stop there on the slides. So I'm going to talk just a little bit about the clay. So we said one of the best parts of the clay is how you can add water, and it can be pliable, and then it dries. And I thought it was kind of neat. Another thing about the ancient world, for thousands of years, the Greeks and the other folks thought everything in the whole world, all matter on earth, was made of four things. Was either air, water, fire, or earth, and or some combination thereof. And when you think about the clay, you've got earth is the actual clay. You have to wait for it to dry to form it. You have for it to be, I've made some pieces. This is leather hard. It's stiff because it has been exposed to the air and dried. You can't put it in the kiln until all the moisture is gone. You will visibly feel, you'll feel this lighter. I made this piece to show you. You'll feel that lighter as the moisture comes out. And then, of course, you have the fire. And you need the fire. You need the fire. I'm going to pass this around. The fire stabilizing agent. The kids enjoyed this the other week. I was giving them a lesson. I'm passing these around, and feel free to break them. This is it before it's fired. It's very, very fragile. They had a lot of fun with that. This is a piece I just wanted to show you. You put at the university in the ceramic studio, you can put it on a roller, put it down and have a roller go over it, set how big do you want it? You want it this thick or this thick? And I had this big long slab, and I just kind of folded it into the mold, the bowl mold, and this is what came out after I glazed it. But you can just have a lot of fun. It doesn't have to be. So we're just passing these around, thank you. And you can take, you can hold, have a piece and just break it and put it back in, okay? That's before it's fired. You're stuck with that one. You've touched something over 2,000 years old today. Okay. Okay. So, time to get out the goodies. Oh, this is another example. I just want. This came from the shop downtown. I met the lady that, one of the best potters that I know. Is it the gallery? Other under the oaks? Yeah. And she just used the clay plate as a canvas to draw, to do her picture. But you can feel there's texture on there. She did a beautiful job. And her, you can see the back. You have to take the glaze. You can't let the glaze be on the back. It'll stick. So you got to take that off somehow. Isn't that pretty? Okay. And I just want to get dirty. Not too dirty. So I just want to talk about some of the properties. Okay. Some of the most earliest pottery shards are found in Japan. They're associated with the Jomon culture, and recovered deposits have been dated to around 14,000 BC. Okay. The next thing. Okay. Well, we've got some that was reworked. We're reworking it. You got to keep it moist. And so we want it nice and soft so you can press on it and it responds. You think God wants us to respond to his touch? He does, doesn't he? And it's amazing. The thing is, At every step, you need to apply pressure. It's better. Thank you.
They can see you
now. Oh, okay. Thank you. I think you've done this before. I just need my notes.
Here, let me show you.
Okay.
It's gonna be a little behind.
I'll go through the tools. We'll go through the tools. I'm missing a few tools, but we'll talk about it. At every step, there's tools. I used to be upset that the ladies In high school, the girls had to do sewing and cooking, and the guys got the tools. But we had our own tools, and we learned the process. There is a process. Our brains did the same hard work that the boys did. But this is, I've got it. When you buy the clay at the university, I get 25 pounds like this. And then you get to take it and go through. You can just whip it off like that. And I have air pockets. This is what I wanted to show you. That is an air pocket. You see the little spot right there? Air. Now, air won't be, you don't want air pockets. It won't, it's not the most terrible thing. Moisture is the most terrible thing. If you put, if you see the little spots where there's that, moisture will blow you up in the kiln. But just a little bitty spot where air, we're going to wedge the clay so we get rid of the air spots. Yeah, right there. Yeah, we want to get rid of our air.
The air is the center.
There you go. Look at there. Y'all feel free to tell me the analogy that you think of exactly. Oh, he was saying that the air pockets could be the sin in your life is destructive, very destructive. Here we go. Yeah.
Superman entered a pug mill. He pushed the clay through a pug mill and it pushed all the air.
Oh, well, good.
It was a compressed thing and it would squeeze.
Oh, wow.
So it was called a pug mill.
Okay. Just, well, I'm going to try my best to get the air out. And remember, be thinking about this in your own life. You, how is God going to work on your air pockets? And there's different ways. I was wedging clay before I was baking, before I was doing bread. I was wedging clay. And you can take out your aggression on this if you're feeling had a rough day. But... he doesn't give me a rough day. No, I do not call that him. I'm getting there. This is, you end up with spirals. I'm about there. Well, it starts to be called a ram's head. Can you see the ram's? This is going to be moving out, so that's kind of the ram's head. But you do this long enough. Do the, I don't want a table to drop. Oh, let's see. Okay, good. That's good. Let's see what we got. Aha! I don't see any more hair pockets. But see, we made it disappear. No air pockets with a little wedging, and yep. You don't. It'll wash right off. Don't be afraid to touch it. But we got rid of the air. Wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy to get rid of the sin, Steve? We just have to confess, right? So it's gone. It's gone. That's good. You believe me. Okay. Back together again. Let's see, what's another one? Oh, it's so interesting that at every level, there's different tools. Now, I think God would like us to be soft and moldable. And as we get harder, as we get exposed to the air and time goes on, we can become hardened. But there's a tool for that. Here it is. Let me say this one first. I cut these yesterday, and I tried to put a 45 degree angle on them, because when you're joining pieces, you want that gives you just a little bit more surface area, a 45 degree angle. And if I was okay, so that I made that one a 45, almost tried to get a 45 degree cut. There's a tool that will do that. That will do a 45 degree cut so that comes together. I have to rough it up and put some slip in there. So there's four stages of scoring and slip. Let's see, what's it got? Scoring, the way they say it. Just want to get it right. Well, there's some S's. But anyway, score, slip, and press together, and then smooth. There's another, but it, at 40, that's not quite a 45 degree angle. But yeah, you understand. You understand. And then you make, so slip is just some glue, some clay and water mixed together is clay glue. So you get it, you get it. Okay. And so I, this is, if I hadn't let it dry, I would never be able to have it stand up. You know, we'd have to, we have a drying process. I did all these five pieces and got them to a certain spot and then put them together. And I just left the, I put some rolled up clay inside there and smoothing it, just to let you see, you can just pass that around. And this is what I use to smooth that. But this is a great digging tool. You can just really make a dent in your clay. And let's see, what else? Oh, the rib. It's time for this. Elmer's been sweet. He's watched me put. There's been the kitchen counter is my work spot, and I'm going in there all day long. And I'm, is it ready? Is it ready? So I'm waiting for that clay to get to the right spot. And a lot of times, well, at the university or anywhere you happen to be, if you put two rulers along here, two. Pieces of equal height, then you will get an evenly distributed slab. Otherwise, it's probably going to be fat at one end and not at the other. Again, pressure. This is pressure. Think of what's God doing in your life. Where do you feel your pressure? If you see an air bubble in here, you take the little pointy tool that I don't have, or a knife, and you get it. You don't want that air in there. And then you can make what you want to make. The rib, this is very interesting. The rib, okay, this clay, imagine it's at one point, it's pretty like dust mixed with water. It's pretty discombobulated, and now we're trying to get it as a cohesive unit, and we are lining up the molecules with a rib. The kids like this part, that you want it. Before you start to make anything, my metal one seems to be gone, but you're going to just let that help it get in line where you want it to be. Does God want us in line? Of course he does. In line with his will. One of the things about, you know, he wants us to be conformed to his image. But the one part I love about that is all of us are going to be unique. We are not going to have a cookie cutter mold. Everyone is different. Even as we conform to his image, he made us all different, and each one of us will always be different. But this is helping it, this helps prevent cracking and strengthens the clay, both sides. And it's a simple thing to do, but something you should not look over. Okay, now you're ready to cut, form, whatever you want. Well, I don't have a brush. But this is the, this is your clay glue. It's just clay and water. Where it gets to a nice sticky stage, that will hold your pieces together. And that's a slip. It's slippery. I don't know where they got the name slip. But it's what you want. And okay, Steve, tell us an analogy with slip. What holds us together? Well, for clay it is. It's just the clay and water. It's gonna, when you're making little, oh, I need a fork. You're just gonna make a lot of little spots on an edge and then put this, basically paint that in there. Do the same on another piece, and they will join. It's just fun. So potters, there you go. So as potters, you get to mold things, you get to throw things, you get to press things, you get to paint, you get messy, but it all washes off. Don't be afraid. That's the slip that holds. It's just the slip that you put between the pieces. And you're the keeper of my stuff. Good old slip. Oh, ha ha ha. That's coming up. Okay, I think we've been through. Well, just take a minute, y'all, to think how this might apply to your life. Every one of us different. And I just appreciate that God brought me here, and God's using my experiences, giving me something to tell, something to go to the university and enjoy with Elmer. And we're going to move on to... illustration. Oh, that's that mold trim. The kilns get up to 2400 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, score, slip, stick, and smooth. There you go. And another thing about as we're making something, as in I told you in the photography, I was trying to take those seven Gestalt theories and make it, you know, if you could just remember one thing, it comes down to relationship. And think, do we make our mugs, our coffee mugs like this, or do we make them to fit us? We have to consider who's using it. Consider the user, consider the end. The end in mind is a real good thing to think about when you're making your clay. And God, of course, has thought about the end. He's provided for us and our end way ahead of time. The archaeological evidence. This is fun. I just had fun with a grandson who said he'd like a monster cup. So Elmer helps me on this. You want to start that? This is my little monster guy. He was wobbly, and Elmer the engineer said he needs tail. So I got stabilized when I added a tail. There you go. And then the next slide, we added some glaze. Oh, he had to go back and forth from the movie to the slideshow. Oh, there you go. Okay, we did. There he is. There he is. How would you like to drink out of him? A little eyeball cocked, a little bit funny. Got to add warts, really big warts. Just had fun with that. That was fun. Okay. So, experiences? I think we're getting close to the end. I think we are getting close to the end. The last slide. This is a Japanese tradition. Kintsugi. I'm not exactly sure how that is. This is a decorative restoration with gold. They take broken pots and they fix them. And it's not just a DIY project. You have to know how to melt the gold or smelt the gold. You have to know what you're doing. But guess what? After it's broken and after it's fixed, it's stronger than it was before. So it's very popular, and it gives it some, a lot of us are 70 plus around here, and we have some things to tell. We have experiences that we need to pass on and tell people what God's been doing in our life. I know everybody in here has got lots of things to tell. And that's what I'm hoping, that the next time you guys come across a conversation, I'm going to be praying in the next month that every one of y'all have a conversation where somebody says, dirt, or dust, or clay, and you're going to say, I got something to tell you. I hope that you will think about that as an opportunity, an open door, where God can use you and what you learned today, what you already knew, what you're going to learn, and let him take all your experiences and enjoy what God is doing in your life as a unique child of God. Let me pray. May your spirit make us grateful for the place you brought us here in Micanopy and for the people you've surrounded us with here in this fellowship and with our families and in our neighborhoods and town. May your spirit reveal to us the many ways and means you are using these circumstances to make and mold us into your image every day. Thank you, Jesus.